start with invocation prayers.
So if you know the invocation prayer, you can recite with me, or you can hear it attentively. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Okay, so welcome again. So I thought of sharing some experiences of our recent yatra to Jagannath Puri, also called Purushottam Kshetra, or also known as Shri Kshetra. So how many of you have heard about Jagannath Puri? I'm sure everybody, right? So everybody know about Jagannath Puri. Anybody who doesn't know about Jagannath Puri? So famously known as, we have four dham, right? In Bharatvarsh we say we have four dham. What are those char dham? Say in one's lifetime one should try to visit the char dham. So what are those four dham, or the four spiritual abodes of the Lord on planet Earth in Bharatvarsh?
Rameshwaram,
Badrinath,
Jagannath
Puri, and Dwarkapuri. So these are the four dham. And all four dham actually are related to Lord Krishna. Right? So Badrinath, which is Lord's appearance in Satya Yuga as Nar Narayan Rishi. Right? Where Lord performed austerities in Satya Yuga as Nar Narayan, and then in Treta Yuga Lord appeared as Lord Ramachandra, and dham is Rameshwaram, and in Dwapara Yuga
Krishna.
Lord appeared himself as Krishna and his Dwarika dham, and in Kali Yuga Lord appeared as Daru Brahman, Lord Jagannath, and his dham is Jagannath Puri. So Jagannath Puri is also called Shri Kshetra. Shri Kshetra means, Shri means Lakshmi Devi. So the place of Lakshmi Devi is called Shri Kshetra. So this, the tract of land in Odisha, that is called Shri Kshetra. And Shri Kshetra has four divisions. So based on the four things which Lord Vishnu hold in his hands, Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padam. So based on those four, there are four places in Odisha which are based on these. So Puri is also called Shankh Kshetra. So the Puri itself is called Shankh Kshetra. And then Bhubaneswar. Show you a map here. So Bhubaneswar is called Chakra Kshetra. And then Jajapur is Gada Kshetra. And Konark is Padma Kshetra. So these are the four famous places in Odisha which are very close to each other. And it's called, this is the total area of 10 yojan. One yojan is 8 mile. So 10 yojan is total 80 mile. So this four places is a place of total 80 miles, which is like about 130 kilometers. So that is the total part which is called Shri Kshetra. And out of that Shri Kshetra, Puri itself is called Shankh Kshetra because it's in the shape of a conch shell. And actually, two-thirds part of that conch shell, so the Shri Kshetra itself is 5 crores or 10 miles. Out of that, two-thirds, 2 crores is submerged in the water, in the ocean. And two-thirds is out of the ocean. And in the Shankh Kshetra, which is surrounded by the golden sand, kind of the beach sand, in the middle of that there is Neelachal. Neelachal means a blue mountain. Neela means blue, Achal means immovable. So there is a Neelachal, blue mountain, on that is where Lord resides. So Shri Kshetra, in Shri Kshetra there is a Shankh Kshetra, in Shankh Kshetra there is a Neelachal, on that Neelachal Lord resides. And actually in scriptures it's mentioned, Lord Vishnu, he says, I reside in this Shri Kshetra or Shankh Kshetra on this Neelachal eternally. That's my eternal abode. It's like the replica of Vaikuntha. And Lord resides there eternally. So there is a glorification of Shri Kshetra in many scriptures. There is a Skanda Purana and Kapila Samhita and many other places. There are glorifications of this Purushottama Kshetra or Shri Kshetra. Purushottama Kshetra, why it's called Purushottama Kshetra? It's the land of Purushottama. Because Lord is known as Purushottam. Whenever he appears, he is Purushottam in different aspects. When he appeared as Lord Ramachandra, what is he known as?
Maryada
Purushottam. When he appeared as Lord Krishna, what is he known as? Leela Purushottam. When he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is known as Prema Purushottam. So, Lord is known as Purushottam. He is the best among the humans or best among men. And that is his land called Purushottam Kshetra. Now, glorification of this Purushottam Kshetra says, Sakshat Vaikuntha Rupam Tat Kshetram Shri Purushottamah Kshetranam Api Kshetram Cha Tirthanam Api Yadvaram. So, that tract of land which is known as Shri Purushottam Kshetra is a direct manifestation of Vaikuntha. And it is the best among all the Tirthas. And there is a Skanda Purana, Puridham or Purushottam Kshetra is glorified. There is a discussion between Lakshmi Devi and Yamaraj. So in Purushottam Kshetra, it said in Purushottam Kshetra, everybody is in a liberated state. Even though living there, one is in a liberated stage. And there is no... It's out of the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Yamaraj has no control on anybody in that land. So, in Skanda Purana, Lakshmi Devi, she told Yamaraj, you have no influence on this most holy place. This place is very rare to be attained, and all the living entities who are residing here are not controlled by you. They are beyond your jurisdiction. And Shri Vishnu, he puts all the living entity in a bondage situation. But in this land, he awards liberation to everybody. This land does not get destroyed even at the time of annihilation. So there is a very beautiful story behind that also. So at the time of annihilation, when does the annihilation happen? Anybody know when does the annihilation happen?
Brahma's one day.
Yes. At the end of Brahma's one day, which is also known as Kalpa. So Brahma's one day is also known as Kalpa. And at the end of Brahma's one day, there is a complete annihilation. So all the planetary system gets filled up with water. So that's called the water of destruction or annihilation. So even at that time, this part of Odisha, which is known as Shri Kshetra, that does not get destroyed. So the famous story is about Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi had the benediction of the duration of life equal to 7 kalpas of Brahma. So one kalpa of Brahma, you know how much is one kalpa of Brahma? You want to know the time calculation? So we know there are 4 yugas, right? At least everybody knows 4 yugas. So there is a cycle of 4 yugas. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. And the duration combined of these 4 yugas is how much? 43 lakh years based on earthly calculation. So 4.3 lakh Kali Yuga, double than that is Dwapara Yuga, triple than that is Treta Yuga, and 4 times than Kali Yuga is Satya Yuga. So if you combine all those together, it's 43 lakh is one cycle of 4 yugas. And in Brahma's one day, there's 1,000 cycles of those 4 yugas. So 43 lakhs times 1,000 is Brahma's one day. And at the end of Brahma's one day, so there is an annihilation happening, a partial annihilation happening after every manvantara also. Now what is manvantara? So in Brahma's one day, there are 14 manus. So like we say, our government, you live in United States or India or any other place, so our government changes after how long? 4 years or 5 years? So same way, there is a universal government for this universe. Like all the Devi Devatas which are in charge of this government to run this universe. So that universal government also changes. And when does it change? After every manvantara. So in Brahma's one day, there are 14 manvantras. So 14 manu come in one day of Brahma. So at every manvantara, at the end of every manvantara, there is a partial devastation. So up to Bhuloka, all the planetary systems get destroyed after every manvantara. But at the end of Brahma's one day, everything gets destroyed. The whole universe. So Markandeya Rishi had the benediction that he will live for 7 kalpas. So everything gets destroyed, but Markandeya Rishi will stay. He will keep floating in the waters of destruction. So at the end of first kalpa, he is floating around in the water of destruction. He is looking for a land to stay. So he sees an island in that water of destruction. So he comes on that island. On that island, he sees a vatavriksha. So he comes onto that island. He hears the voice of Lord Vishnu. Basically, first, while floating around in the water of destruction, he hears the voice of Lord Vishnu that you come on this island, and on that island there is a vatavriksha. So Lord Narayan is staying under that vatavriksha. So he comes on that. He takes darshan of Lord Lakshmi Narayan there and he tells him to climb on that tree. On that tree, what does he see? A baby form of the Lord. And he gets completely bewildered, Markandeya Rishi. That baby form of the Lord is lying on a leaf and he is sucking his thumb of his foot in his mouth. So he hears a voice to enter into the mouth of that baby. So he enters into the mouth. He can see all the planetary systems inside. And he wants to search the end of that. He cannot find the end. And then he comes out from the neck. So then he gets the... He hears another voice which says, "So this is my eternal abode. And I live here eternally. And this place does not get destroyed even at the time of annihilation." So what is that place? That place is which we know as Shankh Kshetra. There the water briksha is still there, which is, there's a another description about that particular tree also. So this Kshetra does not get destroyed even at the time of annihilation. And Markandeya Rishi actually performed austerities. He worshipped there. There is a Sarovar which is known as Markandeya Sarovar there in Jagannath Puri. So in Vishnu Kanda, Mahalakshmi says to Yamaraj, "On this earth planet there are so many tirthas. Among the tirthas, this Purushottama Kshetra is best among all these tirthas. And this Purushottama Kshetra, anybody residing in this Purushottama Kshetra achieves Sayujya Mukti." So there is a five type of liberation. And one type of liberation is Sayujya Mukti, getting the same form as the form of the Lord. So this Purushottama Kshetra provides Sayujya Mukti. And there is another description where Lord Vishnu himself, he declares in Skanda Purana, "Satyam satyam punah satyam, satyam etad bhavite, prasad bhangerte sthanam, na tyajati kadachanah." Even if my temple gets destroyed at this place, but I don't leave this place. I reside here eternally. I declare this again and again. Satyam satyam punah satyam. So I declare this again and again. I don't leave this place even if my temple gets destroyed. So this temple of Jagannath Puri. So how many of you know the whole history? How Lord Jagannath appeared and how this temple was built? There's this whole description. I don't want to go into all those details of describing the appearance of Lord Jagannath. We have discussed it earlier at the time of Rath Yatra and Snan Yatra. So just briefly, there was a king Indradyumna who was a great devotee of the Lord, and he is anxious to see Lord face to face. And once a pilgrimage come to his assembly hall, he tells him there is a Lord appeared in Odisha somewhere on a Neelachal hill as a Neela Madhava. So you should go try to find Neela Madhava and take his darshan. So then Indradyumna sends his brahmanas in all directions to find this place. One of the head brahmana, his name is Vidyapati. So Vidyapati travels to one place. Finally he reaches where a tribal village is there, and the tribal village of that head, he is secretly going somewhere worshipping somebody. So this going very briefly about this story, it's a long story. So Vidyapati, he marries the daughter of this tribal person, the head of the tribal person, Vishwavasu. His daughter's name is Lalita. So he marries her. Then he persuades through Lalita to take him to that place where Neela Madhava is residing. So Vishwavasu finally agrees. But he puts one condition, that I will blindfold you and take you there, so you cannot see where I am taking you. So Vishwavasu blindfolds him, but Vidyapati oversmarts him. He throws along the way mustard seeds, so the mustard plants will grow and he can trace the path. So Vidyapati finally reaches there, takes darshan of Neela Madhava. Neela Madhava is, there's a whole description of Neela Madhava, how beautiful form of the deity is. It's made of a blue sapphire stone. Very beautiful form of the Lord. he takes darshan. Even demigods come there to worship Nilamadava, and they offer him special flower garland, which does not dry, and the fragrance from that garland does not go away. So he takes darshan of that, and when Vishwavasu goes in forest to collect fresh flowers and fruits to offer to Nilamadava, Vidyapati sees one beautiful scene. There is a vatavriksha, and on that vatavriksha there is a crow. He jumps into the pond below that vatavriksha, and he immediately gets a four-handed form. So Vidyapati thinks, oh, this is wonderful. I can get mukti here, liberation here. Let me also jump from that tree and get liberation. But then a voice, celestial voice comes. That's not the purpose of your life. You need to go tell King Indradyumna about this place. So Vidyapati travels back to his kingdom. He informs King Indradyumna about this place. King Indradyumna with his whole army comes to that place. But before he comes there, Nilamadava has already disappeared. This place is merged under the golden sand. And there is again celestial voice King Indradyumna hears that the Lord will appear in a beautiful form here, and there will be a wooden log floating on the ocean. You take that log and the Lord will appear from that log. So then King Indradyumna, he takes that log, and the Vishwakarma comes in a disguised form as an old carpenter, and he puts a condition that don't disturb me for 3 weeks, I will carve the form of the Lord. And then king gets impatient. After 2 weeks, he opens the door and he finds three form of the Lord, which seems like incomplete. And the King Indradyumna again becomes very morose that, oh, I made a big mistake. Because of me, the form of the Lord remained incomplete. But then Narad Muni, he tells another beautiful pastime to King Indradyumna that Lord had the desire to appear in this particular form. Don't consider this form to be incomplete. This is Lord's special form in full ecstasy. So when we see Lord's Jagannath form, Lord Jagannath is, so there's three deities, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. So Lord Jagannath, his brother Baladev and their sister Subhadra. And when we see the form of the Lord, it seems like there are no hands and there are no legs. It's mainly only trunk and face. And the face also, big circular eyes. So that is Lord's form in ecstasy. You want to hear how the Lord got that form?
Yes.
So Narad Muni describes another wonderful pastime. So when Krishna was living in Dwarka, Krishna was always in anxiety. He was always kind of suffering separation from Brajabasis. And all the queens of Dwarka, they are thinking, why Krishna is in so much anxiety? What is he suffering for? There is so much opulence here, but why he is missing all the Brajavasis so much? What is so special about Braja? And one day they decide to ask Mother Rohini to tell them about the pastime of Krishna when he was living in Vrindavan. Because Mother Rohini was also in Vrindavan that time. So all the queens approach Mother Rohini, please tell us about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And Mother Rohini tells, I will tell you those pastimes, but there is one condition. We have to make sure Krishna and Balram do not hear. If they hear when I am telling you about those pastimes, they will become even more anxious to run away to Vrindavan, remembering all those pastimes. So they put Subhadra as guard. They all assemble in a big hall when Krishna and Balram are in their assembly, because they are the prince administrators of Dwarka. So they went to their assembly hall that time in a daytime. All the queens with Mother Rohini, they assemble in a big hall and they put Subhadra on the gate as a guard. Make sure Krishna and Balram cannot enter. So Subhadra is standing at guard. Mother Rohini start describing Krishna's pastime from his birth, what beautiful leelas he did, playing with the cows and the calves, with the gopas and the gopis, his relationship with all the brajbasis. And as Subhadra is, when Subhadra is as God, she, her focus is also towards listening. She also wants to listen to all those leelas. And there in assembly, Krishna and Balaram knew something is going on. They also come there. They see Subhadra standing there. So Krishna stands on one side of Subhadra and Balaram stands on another side of Subhadra. And they also start listening. And they become so attracted listening to their pastimes. They become so filled with ecstasy. All three people, their eyes become so big, round. Their limbs shrink. There is a different description of bhava. That in bhava what happens? The tears start rolling from the eyes. The hairs stand on the end. The whole body, limbs start quivering. So like that, in Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra, they had the mahabhava appear on their bodily limbs. Their eyes become big, rolled in ecstasy. Their hands and legs shrink in the trunk. And at that time, Narada appears there. He looks at that form, he filled with ecstasy. He approached Krishna, "Please make your this form visible for the darshan of everybody, all the human beings." And Krishna says, "Tathastu, I will make this form appear." And then Narad Muni describes, this is Lord's will. He is appearing in this special form. This is the form of ecstasy of the Lord. And if you feel, because of you, his form has remained incomplete, you can arrange to serve the Lord with golden and silver hands and legs. So they put some golden ornaments on that kind of shrink hands. And they put the weapons like gada and chakra and all on those hands. So this is the description how Lord Jagannath appeared, and Indradyumna built a beautiful temple. And Indradyumna went to call Brahmaji to do the kind of inauguration ceremony or install the deities in the temple. Now King Indradyumna along with his wife Gundicha, they went to bring Brahmaji, and Brahmaji was in his meditation. And the duration of his meditation is, the whole Yuga passes by in that time. So this is King Indradyumna's pastime happened in Satya Yuga. And by the time he came back with Brahmaji, the Yugas have passed, and there was some other, and the whole temple was again submerged in the golden sand. And at that time, there was all those kings have passed. There's a new king ruling over there, King Gala Madhava. So while once he was traveling from that place around the beach shore, with his horse's hoof touched to some portion of the which is kind of a merged temple. So he kind of excavate it again and finds a big temple there. He kind of fixes the temple, renovate it a little bit, and he claims the proprietorship of that temple. And when Indradyumna comes there with Brahma, he says, "I built this temple for Lord Jagannath." And Gala Madhava is saying, "No, I built this temple." So now how to find out who built this temple? So this Vatabriksha is there, and on that Vatabriksha there is a Kagbhushandi, which is living from that time, Satya Yuga. So Kagbhushandi gave witness that Indradyumna had built this temple originally. And this temple was submerged in the sand. And this new king had found it again. So now King Indradyumna, Brahmaji declares that, okay, this is built by King Indradyumna. And finally they do pranpratishtha of the Lord there. Now after that time, there was one temple on Neelachal Hill, right? Neelachal. But with the time, passage of time, there are many other temples built later on. And so there's a one main temple of Jagannath, and around that there are 30 other temples of different personalities or different importance. So we'll discuss some of those temples. And that Vatabriksha is there. And there is a, close to that Vatabriksha, there is a Rohini Kund. And then later on, with the time passes, some other king, they built the periphery of the whole complex. So with the passage of time, many new additions have happened around the temple. So when we trace the history, it's very hard to find exactly when the temple was built. If you do Google search or Wikipedia, it will show temple was built in 11th century. Because they cannot trace the whole history of the temple. Many new additions have happened. And that's how they say tracing the history of this temple was built in 11th century. But there are many other pastimes, which says even in, there is one gospel which shows Jesus Christ also visited Jagannath Puri and he witnessed Rath Yatra festival. So which says it happened at least 2000 years back. So this temple is much more older, but with new additions, it's hard to trace the actual time duration. Now this whole complex, as I said, so the main Jagannath temple, which is the tallest 215 feet tall building, which has the Neela Chakra on top of the building, that is the main temple where Lord Jagannath resides. Around that there are other 30 temples, small different temples around that, and the whole complex is surrounded by a tall wall, which is like 8 meter tall wall or all around the complex. So this whole surrounding wall is called Meghananda Pachiri, which is the surrounding wall. And this surrounding wall of the complex, there are 4 entrances to this complex, to Jagannath Puri temple. And these 4 entrances are known by the images of animal which are placed at the each gate. So there is a east gate, west gate, south gate and north gate to the temple. And the significance of all the 4 gates, actually, which type of people enter from which gate. So the main public enter from the east gate, which is also called Simhadwar. So this is the picture we took here. The south gate, Dakshinidwar, it's called Ashwadwar. So Ashwadwar is, there are 2 galloping horses standing on the 2 sides of the entrance. And on 2 horses, there are 2 warrior-like personalities there. Those are none other than Lord Jagannath and Baladev. And this is a nice pastime about that also. We will discuss it later. So Ashwadwar is the south gate. And then the east gate is called Singhadwar. West gate, the opposite gate, is called Baghdwar. Baghdwar is like the tiger. So Singhadwar, Baghdwar, Ashwadwar and Hastidwar, elephant gate. So the north gate is elephant gate, south gate is Ashwadwar. Now the main public enter from east gate, Singhadwar. And actually when Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra happened, Lord Jagannath also come out from that gate, from the east gate, from where the normal public comes. And the Ashwadwar is from where the royal people used to enter. So at the time of kings. So the king will enter from the Ashwadwar, from the south gate. And the north gate, which is elephant gate, that is from where, this is another important aspect to this. How many of you know Lord Jagannath's form changes after certain years? Or to put in another way, how old is the current deities of Lord Jagannath in the temple? Anybody knows? This is not the original deities which Indradyumna got built from that wooden log which was floating on the ocean. So actually Lord Jagannath's form changes. And one says Lord Jagannath gives up his form and accepts a new form. And this form changes every 8, 12, 16 or 19 years with a dead difference. And when does it happen? In a year when there are 2 Ashad month. So Ashad month is June, July period. So in a year which has 2 months of Ashad, in that year Lord gets a new form. So that process or the whole function or the whole celebration is called Navakalevara. So we'll discuss that a little later. So at the time of Navakalevara, when Lord changes its form, the new wood which is found through a certain process, not an ordinary wood, that enters through the Hastidwar or the north gate. And the tantric type of people or the there are called so looking for some kind of siddhis or something, those type of people used to enter from the west gate, the Bagdwar. So generally we all enter from Singhadwar. So this is a picture of the main entrance with the Singhadwar, and in front of the Singhadwar there is a big pillar standing which is called Aruna Stamb. So Aruna is the charioteer of sun god Vivaswan. So in Konark there is another famous temple which is called Surya Mandir, right? Surya temple. And this temple is built in a shape of a chariot. So this, when this temple, sun temple, was built in Konark, this Aruna Stamba was placed in the porch in front of that temple. But when this temple got kind of little destroyed or destructed, this Aruna Stamba was brought and put in front of Jagannath temple at the entrance of Singhadwar. So from the Aruna Stamba, in front of Aruna Stamba, when we enter to the main entrance. Now the another speciality of this Jagannath temple is they don't allow non-Hindus to enter in the temple. Somebody will say, why that kind of discrimination? Temple of the Lord should be open to everybody, right? So, but there is a age-old culture where the non-Hindus are not allowed inside the temple. The reason is because the temple is different from a tourist place. It's not like a tourist place. And there is a certain level of purity maintained. So the people, so it's specifically meant for non-entrance to the Yavanas who eat the meat of cow. So to restrict those type of people, there is a specification mentioned that okay, only Hindus can enter the temple. But Lord Jagannath is so merciful, he gives his obedience or audience to anybody and everybody. So when we enter the main door, at the entrance there is a painting of Jagannath or the picture of Jagannath on the right side wall. So person who is not given entrance inside the temple, just standing at Aruna Stamba, he can take darshan of this picture of Jagannath or this image of Jagannath there, which is called Patita Pavan. So Lord Jagannath at the entrance, he appeared there as Patita Pavan to give darshan to everybody who are not able to enter inside the temple. And the another way Lord Jagannath gives his darshan to everybody is during Rath Yatra. So people who are not able to enter inside temple, Lord Jagannath comes outside his temple to give darshan to everybody. So that's why he is called Patita Pavan. Patita is who is very fallen. And the deliverer of the fallen is Patita Pavan. So taking darshan of, so we enter the temple from the Singhadwara, take darshan of Patita Pavan, and then as we move forward, at the first step there is a black stone lying on the first step there, that is called Yamashila. So as I described earlier, Lakshmi Devi was mentioning to Yamaraj, you don't have any control or you don't have any jurisdiction inside Purushottama Kshetra. It's out of your jurisdiction. You don't have any control on that. And when Yamaraj approached Lord Vishnu that okay, everybody will get liberation in your dham, what will happen to me? I will go out of job. So Lord Vishnu said, you lie here in the form of a stone, and when people enter my temple, they will put feet on you and you take all the sins. You remove all the sin. So when we enter the temple, the mention is we should put our feet on that Yamashila, a black stone. What is it? It removes all the sins. And Lord Vishnu said, when they come take my darshan, they acquire the merit of getting my darshan inside the temple. And when they go out, if they put foot on you, you will get again the merit of them taking darshan. So the account will be balanced. So when we enter the temple, we should intentionally put our feet on that Yamashila. But while going out, we should make efforts not to put our foot on that Yamashila. Otherwise, you will again lose all the merits of taking darshan of Jagannath. And you will come back again, basically, the way you went to the dham. So Yamaraj is lying there. So people, when we went there, I did not know about this actually. So one devotee who took us around all the places in Jagannath Puri, and he told us this particular pastime or the significance of this Leela. And I was observing. Some people, they knew about this thing, that this, what is the significance of this Yamashila, and they were avoiding putting step on that. And some person was going in and coming out, putting again step on that Yamashila. So that's why actually it says, when we go to a Tirth Stan, we cannot realize the holy place with our eyes. We can realize the holy place through our ears. So when you go to the holy place, where the pastimes of Lord took place, where there are many places of great significance, but with time, a lot of things have changed. Right? In the old time, maybe there was a nice garden at one place where some wonderful Leela took place. But now with passage of time, the whole garden has disappeared. Maybe there is only one tree left there. And maybe earlier there was a nice beautiful pond there, but now it's all dried up and it's an empty hole in the ground there. So when we go there, we cannot make sense out of that. What is the significance of this, that place? What particular Leela took place there? So just if we go as a tourist there, just looking around all these places, we cannot find out the significance of each place. We took darshan in different temples. We think, oh, it's deities everywhere, same thing. But what is the significance of any particular deity? What is the historical background? So that's why it says we cannot realize a spiritual place or a Tirth Stan through our eyes. We can realize it through our ears by hearing from the pure devotees who know about the significance of that place. So we should prepare ourselves before going, or after we go there, we should try to understand it, realize it by hearing from somebody. So after we cross this Yamashila, there is a 22 staircase or 22 stairs, famously known as Bais Pahacha. Baisi Pahacha, it's kind of a Uriel language. Baisi means 22, Pahacha means the steps. So 22 steps, and these steps are like wide steps, like maybe the size of this room. So these wides and 6 feet tall, not tall, like in terms of length, and maybe 6-7 inch high, like that there are 22 steps. And they say there is a very great significance about these steps also. People enter kind of with great ecstasy, stepping on each slab. And after crossing these 22 steps, we finally enter. Okay, turn it off, looks like. So after entering, crossing these 22 steps, we enter into another entrance, which is facing Bhoga Mandapa, or the back side of Bhoga Mandapa. So if we go on the left side, we go all around the Jagannath temple, Then we enter into the main Jagannath temple from the right side. So just imagine there is a big tall building here. And around that tall building, so you are standing in front. So you go all around, going through all those various temples. And then you enter from the right side, which is the main entrance to the actual Jagannath temple. So we'll discuss few places out of all these places before we enter into Jagannath temple. So as I described, there is one Vatabriksha, which is age old. And at the bottom of that Vatabriksha, at the side of that Vatabriksha, there is a Rohini Kund. So Rohini Kund is, it's unclear how this kund got its name Rohini. It's not related to Balram's mother Rohini. The Rohini comes from Arohan. Arohan means to climb on. So by dipping into that kund, one can climb into the spiritual world. So that is the meaning of Rohini, Arohan. So Rohini Kund, as I described, right, the crow fell down and he got 400 Vishnu form. So Vatabriksha is there, Rohini Kund. And then there are another two very famous temple, which is called Vimala Temple, Vimala Devi Temple and Mahalakshmi Temple. And also there is a Narsinga temple and Kanchipuram Ganesh temple. So we'll discuss few of these. So let's go to Vimala temple first. So I don't have the pictures of all these temples because it's completely restricted. No camera zone basically. They keep your cameras outside. Before we enter into the Singh Dwara, there is a police security there. And before you come into that place, there is a place where you have to hand over all your phones, cameras, everything. So you cannot take any picture at all. So all these pictures are taken, whatever we could take from outside. That's all. So Vimala Devi Temple, what is this Vimala Devi Temple? So this Vimala Devi Temple is also known as one of the Shakti Peeths. It's a temple of basically Goddess Parvati, which in this complex is known by the name Vimala. So how this story goes is, one story is related to the Shakti Peeth, which is when Sati gave up her life. Everybody know that pastime? In the Yajna of Daksha, when she could not tolerate insult of Lord Shiva, so Sati gave up her life. And when Lord Shiva came to know, he was furious and he created a big demon to destroy everything. And then Lord Shiva picked up the burning body of Sati and he was doing Tandava and roaming around different places. And the parts, body limbs of Sati fell at various places. So in Calcutta there is another Shakti Peeth, which is Dakshineshwari temple. Right, there is another, and in this place, Jagannath temple, in this place, the naval remains of Sati fell down. So that's why this is also known as one of the Shakti Peeths. And how she is worshipped as Vimala Devi? So this pastime is related to the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. So Jagannath Puri is famous for its prasad. They say if we want to get Krishna Bhakti, so if you go to Vrindavan, to get Krishna Bhakti, you have to roll in the dust of Vrindavan. You go to Mayapur to get Krishna Prem, Krishna Bhakti, you have to chant the holy name. And in Jagannath Puri Dham, to get Krishna Bhakti, you simply eat Jagannath Prasad. So that's the fame of Jagannath Prasad. Also, there is another wonderful pastime. I said there is four dham. Say, Rameshwaram is the bathing place of the Lord. Dwarika Dham is where Lord gets dressed up and goes to his office. Jagannath Puri is where Lord eat his lunch. So in Jagannath Puri, Lord is served profusely. He is served throughout the day, six offerings. And actually this again goes back to Indradyumna. When Lord Jagannath appeared, And Indradyumna asked two boons from Jagannath. One boon was, let your hands never be dry. Keep eating and keep giving audience to the devotees. So Jagannath is served throughout the day nice offerings, and Jagannath temple closes only for a couple of hours in the night, and there is no fixed time when temple can close. It can close at 11 o'clock in the night or it can close at 2 o'clock. It just closes for two hours or so. So Jagannath is completely giving audience to the devotees. So you can go at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock also to take darshan. And another wonderful thing about Jagannath temple darshan is, see, all other temple, Lord is dressed up nicely in the morning time. So there is a Mangalarti darshan, right, when wake up the Lord. After that, Lord is given bath and dressed nicely. Jagannath is dressed up in the night. So they dressed up, change the dress of the Lord in the night before he goes to sleep. So this was first boon Indradyumna asked, let your hands never be dry, keep eating and keep giving audience to the devotees. And second benediction he asked was, I don't want any descendants. And he asked this benediction in front of his wife Gundicha. So now for a mother to hear this thing, that I will not have any son, it's very disappointing or very challenging actually. So Lord Indradyumna asked Lord Jagannath that I don't want any descendants, so that there is no fights on this property. Nobody should claim this is the property of our ancestors. My father built this temple, or so they should not fight, claim over the proprietorship of this temple. And Lord Jagannath granted those boons, and he told Gundicha, don't be sad, don't be upset, I will accept you as my mother and I will visit you every year. And actually till now also there is a celebration done or ceremony done where Lord Jagannath gives Shraddha, performs Shraddha ceremony to Indradyumna and Gundicha. So as a son, generally as a son will do the Shraddha ceremony yearly basis for his father, mother. So Jagannath performs the Shraddha ceremony for Indradyumna and Gundicha. And Lord Jagannath goes to Gundicha every year. That is the time of Rath Yatra. So Rath Yatra goes from Jagannath temple to Gundicha temple. So we'll discuss that later when we go to Gundicha temple. So coming back here, Vimala Devi, what is the story of Vimala Devi? How Vimala Devi is worshipped there and how she came into that form? So once Narad Muni, he came to Vaikuntha, and Lakshmi Devi was serving Lord Vishnu his bhoga. And Narad Muni requested Lakshmi Devi, please give me some remnant of Lord Vishnu. And Lakshmi Devi said, no, I cannot give you the remnants. Lord Vishnu has given me strict instructions not to give his remnant, his prasad, to anybody. So Narad Muni insists, no, please give me some remnant of Lord Vishnu. And Lakshmi Devi said, okay, I will request Lord Vishnu when I go to serve him next bhoga. I will request him if I can take some remnants for you. And Lakshmi Devi tells Lord Vishnu that your devotee Narada, he is insisting to get your Mahaprasad, and he will not leave until he gets Mahaprasad. So please grant me, give me the so that I can take some Mahaprasad and give it to Narad Muni. So Lord Vishnu said, okay, I will let you take some Mahaprasad and give to Narada, but when I finish my bhoga and I turn, when my back is on your side, then quietly take Mahaprasad. I should not see that. So Lakshmi Devi, when Lord Vishnu turned after finishing his prasad, his bhoga, Lakshmi Devi took some Mahaprasad and gave it to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was very jubilant receiving this Mahaprasad. He ate some Mahaprasad and he was filled with ecstasy receiving Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu. And he started dancing, singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. He is anyways always singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. And in his ecstasy, he reached Kailash in front of Lord Shiva, and he is dancing with ecstasy and chanting the name of Vishnu. So Lord Shiva asked Narad Muni, I know you are a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, you are always chanting the name, but today you seem to be even more jubilant, in more ecstasy. So what happened? And then Narad Muni said, you know what, today I received Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu. I just tasted Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu and I am filled with ecstasy. And Lord Shiva said, you are my brother, did you bring some prasad for me? And Narad Muni felt little embarrassed. He ate all the Mahaprasad and he completely kind of forget to bring some for Lord Shiva. And as Narad Muni was looking around in his disappointment, he saw one morsel stuck in his nail, fingernail. And he forwarded that finger to Lord Shiva. See, this is some Mahaprasad stuck in my nail, if you like to take it. So Lord Shiva took that morsel of Mahaprasad and ate that Mahaprasad. And as soon as Mahaprasad touched Lord Shiva's tongue, Lord Shiva also got filled with ecstasy. And he started dancing. He started doing Tandava. And at that time, Parvati Devi came there. And Parvati said, I know you are singing the glories of Lord Shiva always, chanting, meditating on Lord Vishnu always. Today you are extra filled with ecstasy. So Lord Shiva said, today I got a morsel of Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu. That's why I'm filled with this ecstasy. And Parvati said, did you save some for me? What about me? And Lord Shiva said, there was only one grain. What could I save for you? And Parvati got very angry. And with that anger, the fire started coming from her eyes and started burning the three planetary systems. All the demigods became scared that in her anger, this fire, it will burn up all the planetary system. And all the demigods approached Lord Vishnu. Finally, Lord Vishnu came to Kailash and Parvati Devi came forward and offered her obeisances to Lord Vishnu and asked, Lord Vishnu asked, what is the reason of your anger? She said, I am abandoned from your Mahaprasad. Everybody took your Mahaprasad. I am not getting any Mahaprasad. So then Lord Vishnu told Parvati Devi, I eternally reside on this Neelachal Dham as Jagannath. The meaning of Jagannath is, who is the master of the whole universe. Jagannath. So I reside there eternally and the bhoga is offered to me throughout the day. And from now onwards, you will appear in that place and you will be known as Vimala Devi. And my prasad will be first offered to you. And after you partake in that prasad, that will become Mahaprasad. Before it goes to anybody else. So now, since then, there is a tradition. So Vimala Devi's temple is right behind Jagannath temple, in that whole complex. And bhoga, which is offered to Jagannath, so it becomes prasad. So it is first offered to Vimala Devi. Then it becomes Mahaprasad and then it's distributed among everybody. Actually, Parvati Devi had asked another thing. So Lord Vishnu has actually told, okay, I will give you whatever, how much prasad you want. And Parvati said, not just me, I want the prasad for all my children. So all the population of this world. And then Lord Vishnu told this thing, in Jagannath Puri, my bhoga will be offered to you, then it will be distributed to everybody as Mahaprasad. So Vimala Devi's temple is there. So first when we enter, we go around, take darshan of Vimala Devi, and then we come around, there is another temple of Mahalakshmi. This is a Lakshmi Devi temple. So we go take darshan of Lakshmi Devi in that temple, and in front of that there is a Narsingha deity also, and with Shri Devi and Bhudevi on his sides. So we take darshan of Mahalakshmi, offer lamp. Actually, lamp is offered not inside to the deity of Lakshmi Devi, it's offered outside to the chakra placed on the top of the temple of Lakshmi Devi. And there is another tradition, when we come out of the temple, so there is a slab or the steps there. Before we leave that place, everybody is supposed to sit there for a few seconds or a minute. So I asked the devotee, what is the reason behind this, that we should sit first before we leave, coming out of the temple and directly leaving, rather than that you should sit there for some time. So he explained that she is the mother, and when a child comes to meet the mother, you are supposed to sit with mother for some time. Otherwise the mother thinks, my child is so busy, he doesn't have time for me. He just comes and goes, he doesn't have time to sit with me. So we should sit there for some time and then you leave. So sat there and then we moved next. And as we cross, there is another small temple. Outside board says Kanchipuram Ganesh. So there is another wonderful pastime about Kanchipuram Ganesh. It's already 1 hour. And we haven't even finished Jagannath temple itself. There are many other places. So Kanchi Ganesh, there is a wonderful pastime when King Purushottama, when King Purushottama was ruling, it's about like 700 years back. And at that time, there's a king of Kanchi. He made arrangement to marry his daughter with King Purushottam Dev. And King Purushottam Dev, he is a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And actually there is a tradition, when Jagannath Rath Yatra happens, first the king will come and sweep the street in front of the chariot with golden broom. Then the chariot will move. And King Purushottam Dev, every Rath Yatra, he is brooming the street with a golden broom. So when Kanchipuram made arrangement to marry his daughter, King Purushottam Dev invited King of Kanchi to come witness this Rath Yatra. And King of Kanchi said, I cannot come, I will send my representative. So he sent his minister there. His minister came and he saw King Purushottam Dev is brooming the street. He said, he is doing the job of a chandala. What kind of king is that? I should report to my king immediately that you should not marry your daughter. He is a sweeper. He could not understand the glories of Lord Jagannath, and he is the owner of the whole universe, and king is a great devotee of Jagannath. Everybody is servant of Lord Jagannath. So King of Kanchi, he rejected the marriage proposal, and King Purushottam Dev, he became very angry. He put a war on Kanchi. So at that time, when he first went there, he had to come back because his tents got fire. So he returned back without fighting, and at that time, he realized, I attacked on Kanchipuram without getting the permission of Lord Jagannath. So this time, he approached Jagannath first, that he has insulted you. He has insulted your servant. It's indirectly insult of you. So please bless me to rage war on that and to defeat him. So Jagannath, he spoke to King Purushottam Dev, that I give you my blessing, you will be victorious, and I myself will be on your side in this war. I will participate in this war. So King Purushottam Dev, he was filled with ecstasy. Lord Jagannath is going to fight on my side. So he raged war on Kanchipuram, and there was a kind of a, what do you call it, as a, whoever will win, they have to give their deities to the winning king. So if Purushottam Dev gets defeated, he will hand over his Jagannath deities to King of Kanchi. And if King of Kanchi gets defeated, he will give his deity of Ganesh, which he was worshipping in his Kanchipuram. So that was the alliance made, or the arrangement made. They will give up their deities, and that deity will sit behind their worshipable deity and will not be worshipped. So if Purushottam Dev defeats, Jagannath will go in Kanchipuram and he will be placed behind Ganesh and will not receive any worship. And if King of Kanchi gets defeated, he will hand over his deity of Ganesh, which will come and sit behind Jagannath temple and will not receive any worship. So Purushottam Dev attacked And at that time, Jagannath and Baladev, they took the form of warriors and they themselves came to participate in that war. So there were two warriors, one on the blue black horse and one on white horse. They were riding and they crossed kind of in front of the whole army. So they crossed one village, one woman, old woman, she was selling buttermilk. So these two warriors approached that woman that, "We are very thirsty, please give us your buttermilk." So they drank all the buttermilk, and when they were about to leave, this woman said, "What about my payment? First pay me for this buttermilk." And those warriors said, "We don't have anything. We are the warriors of King Purushottam Dev. He is coming behind with his army. So he will come there." So then one warrior, he took out his ring and gave it to that woman, that, "You show this ring to the king, he will pay you for this buttermilk." And they left. So after some time, King Purushottam Dev's whole army reached there with his King Purushottam Dev. This woman stopped her, says, "Two of your warriors, two of your soldiers, they went ahead of you sometime before and they drank all my buttermilk and they did not pay me, and they gave me this ring to show it to you." So she gave the ring to Purushottam Dev, and as Purushottam Dev looked at the ring, he recognized the ring. This is the ring, diamond ring of Lord Jagannath. So he immediately recognized, "Oh, Lord Jagannath, he made his promise. He is already gone to fight." So king was filled with ecstasy and he told that woman, "You are the most fortunate woman. You took darshan of Lord Jagannath." He was none other than Lord Jagannath. So as a payment to that lady, "I will give you the five villages and you will be the owner of those five villages. Whatever as a tax collection come from that villages, that will be your property." And he gave the name of that village as the name of that woman. I can't recall the name, if anybody know. I don't remember the name of that woman and the name of that village. It's still there. That village is still there, known with the name of that buttermilk seller. So Purushottam Dev also marched. He was now filled with jubilation that Jagannath is on my side. He is already gone to fight. So they easily defeated the king of Kanchi. And while coming back, then they of course got this Kanchi Ganesh deity, which is now placed in the Jagannath temple complex behind Jagannath's temple. So that temple is there now, Kanchi Ganesh temple. And while returning, Purushottam Dev got two more deities. So actually total three deities. One is Kanchi Ganesh. Another deity was Radha Kanta deity. So there is a very wonderful pastime of Radha Kanta and the temple of Radha Kanta. We will discuss it maybe next time. So one was Kanchi Ganesh. Second deity was Radha Kanta. And the third deity he got while coming back from Kanchipuram in Vidyanagar. He saw another wonderful deity, very beautiful deity of Sakshi Gopal. So he got that Sakshi Gopal deity also, which is also now residing in Shri Kshetra. So he got three deities. We'll discuss other two. We just discussed Kanchi Ganesh. We'll discuss other two. So we visit these temples, Vimala Devi temple, Mahalakshmi temple, pass through Kanchi Ganesh temple. To come on the other side, on the northern side, there is a Sanan Mandap. So Sanan Mandap is, there is a Bathing Kund and a kind of a place. So this Sanan Mandap is where Lord Jagannath's Abhishek is performed before Rath Yatra. So 2 weeks before Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath's Sanan Yatra happens. So Abhishek of Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, after which Lord Jagannath becomes sick. And he does not give darshan for next 2 weeks till Rath Yatra. So Jagannath, he says, "I have appeared in Kali Yuga and I do all the leelas like a ordinary human being." So Jagannath eats, Jagannath sleeps, Jagannath gets sick, and Jagannath kind of gets old and changes body, which I described as Navakalevaram, right? Jagannath's form, Jagannath's deities are changed, which is kind of, he dies in one sense. He gives up his body and receives a new body. So there is a Sanan Mandap, and then there is another wonderful place is called Anand Bazaar. Anand Bazaar is, you enter that door, on the other side there is a big market. And this is the place where Jagannath's Mahaprasad is sold. So you can get the Mahaprasad there. Whatever, there's a nice wonderful preparations. Actually, we did not get chance to go into Anand Bazaar because we got fortunate enough to get Jagannath Mahaprasad right there without going to Anand Bazaar. So what happened is, we had kind of approached one devotee before we left from here. We came to know some devotee, and that devotee had some allies with one panda there. So in Jagannath temple there are many pandas, right? It's famous for pandas, and pandas kind of disturb little bit when you go there. They will approach you that we will show you all around, and they want to take money and all. So there are thousands of pandas there, and so there are two categories of people in Jagannath temple. One is the pandas who serve Lord Jagannath, and among those pandas there is puja pandas who do direct worship of Lord Jagannath. So there are thousands of panda, and among them there are 45 puja panda. So puja panda is who directly worship Lord Jagannath on Ratna Singhasan. So one is pandas as a servants of worshippers. The other category is swaras. Swaras is which are the cook of Lord Jagannath. So there are two classes of people, and these again go back to Vidyapati. Remember Vidyapati? So Vidyapati was the one who went to search Neelamadhava, and he married Lalita, the daughter of Vishwavasu. So Vidyapati had another wife as a Brahmana wife. So Lord Jagannath, he said, Vidyapati's descendants through his Brahmana wife, they will be my servants as my to worship me. So those are known as Daityapatis, the pandas. And Vidyapati's descendants through his Swara wife, the daughter of Vishwavasu, which was as a tribal person. So through her, the descendants, they will be my servants as my cook. They will cook for me. So there are like 600 cook of Lord Jagannath who cook in Jagannath kitchen. So Jagannath temple kitchen is world's biggest kitchen, where 600 people cook. And it's known as the biggest, in one sense, biggest hotel, which can feed on a 2 to 3 hours notice to 1 lakh people. So on a daily basis, Jagannath temple feeds about 25,000-50,000 people on a daily basis. So it's the biggest kitchen. So we kind of happen to meet one panda through that devotee, which is one of the puja pandas, 45 pandas. So that panda, he took us to take Jagannath darshan in the front, and he gave us nice Jagannath prasadam. So we went for 2 days in Jagannath Puri. Both evenings we went to Jagannath temple, and both evenings we took Jagannath prasad as dinner. And he brought Jagannath prasad nicely from inside. Like, Jagannath prasad is cooked in clay pots. It's famous that 6-7 pots are cooked together on one flame. So there's a big pots with rice, kind of khichdi and dal, and then there is a very wonderful sweet which is cream and chena, like the cheese, which is not as a hard cheese, just chena mixed with cream. So that is the sweet dish at the end. So he brought nice khichdi, dal and the chena, and he made us sit in a line. So we were like 10 people, 4 of us, my brother's family, my mother. So all sat in one line with palm leaves, those banana leaves, and he served that puja panda, that panda, he served the Jagannath prasadam nicely, and he fed us Jagannath prasadam with his hands. He took from the pot itself, he took prasad and put in the mouth of everybody one by one. So Jagannath prasad, there is one more famous thing about Jagannath prasad, is Jagannath prasad does not get contaminated. And there is no kind of, generally there is a bhedbhav, right? This is okay, brahmanas and shudras, and so they don't touch, shudras cannot touch brahmanas. So in Jagannath Puri, there is nothing like that. Brahmana and Shudra can eat from same plate. Even a dog can eat from the plate of a Brahmana, and Brahmana will continue to eat. So that Panda, he fed us with his hands, one by one, taking food from the pot, putting in everybody's mouth, and then he took and put in his mouth. So 2 days we were fortunate enough to get Jagannath Prasad directly from in front of Jagannath altar. He brought fresh, nice, hot prasadam. So generally this prasadam is sold in Anand Bazaar. So anybody can take prasad from Anand Bazaar. And then on the side of Anand Bazaar, there is another wonderful place called Koili Vaikuntha. So Koili Vaikuntha is, which is related to this event of Nava Kalavera. So Nava means new, Kalevara means body. So Nava Kalevara means getting new body. So Jagannath gets a new body. And this happens in a year which has 2 Ashadh months. So it happens, so there is no fixed time. It can be after 8 years, 12 years, 16 years or 19 years. So the latest Nava Kalevara happened in 2015. So the Jagannath deity, which is right now in temple there, that is established in 2015, the new deity. And the process, it's not that any random wood they will get and make the deity out of that. There is a whole process. The Pandas, they will get some revelation through some goddess that you have to go such and such place and search for such and such neem tree. It's a very special neem tree, and there are so many requirements it has to fulfill. It has to be close to a holy pond. It has to be close to some hermitage. There has to be a snake pit at the bottom of the tree. The tree has to have the symbols of Lord Vishnu's weapons. Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padam. It has to have all those symbols on that tree. And there has to be a cremation ground close to that tree. So all those requirements have to fulfill. And there is a requirement for all three deities and Sudarshan. So one tree is for Jagannath deity, one is for Baladev, one is for Subhadra Devi, one is for Sudarshan. So like that they find all these. Then the tree is wrapped up in nice cloth, whichever part they want to take of that tree. And so first of all there is a big team of Pandas, priests and Daityapatis and Swaras and policemen which go to find the tree. And then they do find the tree, do the yajna there for purification, then they cut down the tree, the trunk part which is used to build the deities, and the remaining part, all the branches, leaves and all, they are buried there. Nobody can take even a small leaf of that tree. And then they finally bring that log by wrapping it in a nice cloth to the temple, and those logs enter through the north gate and they are brought into this Koili Vaikuntha place, the area of Koili Vaikuntha. And there is a nice Vedi where the deities are carved in 2 weeks. And then there is a Pran Pratishtha. The old deities are brought inside Koili Vaikuntha from the temple. And for one day there is a complete blackout in the whole city of Jagannath Puri. So complete blackout, not even a single light bulb's lights. So complete blackout. The old deities of Jagannath are brought in the Koili Vaikuntha, and the new deities are carved already. And there are only 3 priests can stay in that area. They are also blindfolded. And the deity of Jagannath is known as Daru Brahman. So Daru means wood. Brahman means the Brahman substance. They say there is some Brahman substance inside the deity of Jagannath. So the 3 priests, they are blindfolded. Only those 3 priests stay there at that time. Nobody enter. They completely seal the temple. They put some kind of all those things, junglas and all. Nobody can enter. Even no animal can enter. So in that stage, they take the Brahman substance from the old deity in a blindfolded stage and they put it inside the new deity. And then they bury those old deities in that burial ground, which is in the Koili Vaikuntha. So we took the darshan of all that place. where the deities are, new deities are carved and the old deities are brought and buried there after this Navakalevara process is done. And then the new deities are installed. And I heard there's these three priests which stay to take the Brahman substance from the old deity and transfer into the new deity. Though those also, they actually get liberation. They die after a few days. Within few days they die. So they get liberation. They know this will happen and they still do that. Because this is, they know this is the best thing we can do. Get the, for the service of the Lord and achieve the spiritual world. So this whole process of Navakalevara, wonderful process. There is actually a video also online. I can share that video just describing briefly this process. Or when this last 2015 it happened, they show bringing the wooden logs and all that, bringing inside the temple. So it's also like a Rath Yatra parade kind of thing while bringing those logs. So then there is the main temple of Jagannath, which is called Badadwaila. So in Badadwaila, there is a Garbha Mandir where on Ratna Singhasan, Lord Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, Sudarshan, they are placed. And in front of that, there is a Mukhashala where people can go up to Mukhashala and take darshan. So it's like, just imagine, it's like a big row of rooms. So at the last room, which is the Garbha Mandir where Lord is placed, in front of that is Mukhashala, up to where you can go take darshan. And before that is Natamandap. Natamandap is another far place up to where devotees can stand and take darshan from far away of Lord Jagannath. And in Natamandap there is a Garuda Stambh. So Garuda Stambh is a pillar on top of which is Garuda is stationed. And Garuda Stambh is the place when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in Jagannath Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri for last 12 years of his manifested pastimes. So 12 years he stayed in Jagannath Puri. He will come to take darshan of Lord Jagannath every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is Krishna and he is coming to take darshan of Jagannath. And he will stay, take darshan of Jagannath from this Garuda Stambha. Standing next to Garuda Stambha, he will take darshan. And there is a wall in the Nat Mandap where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand while taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, and in his ecstasy the stone melted and there is a fingerprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that stone wall, and on the floor there is a prints of his foot thumb. So you can take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's finger and foot on that wall around that Garuda Stambha. And Garuda Stambha is, everybody will hug Garuda Stambha or touch Garuda Stambha. That's why with so many years, thousands of people touching Garuda Stambha, they say in the middle it has become little thin. And then behind Nat Mandap is Bhoga Mandap. Bhoga Mandap is from where from the kitchen through Bhoga Mandap all the offering is brought from a alley to Bhoga Mandap, and through Bhoga Mandap certain type of offerings are offered to Jagannath. Just through Bhoga Mandap. So not all the offerings go to Jagannath in front of his Ratna Singhasana. Lot of offerings are offered through Bhoga Mandap. So there are six different type of offering. One specific type of offering which is done just through Bhoga Mandap. So this is the whole Jagannath temple complex. The main Jagannath temple and surrounded by many other small temples. And the main places of significance again, the Vatavriksha, Rohini Kund, Vimla Temple, Mahalakshmi Temple, this Koyali Vaikuntha, Anand Bazaar. I don't know how many people actually know about Koyali Vaikuntha and are able to go inside Koyali Vaikuntha, because there is a security guard sitting in before you enter to Koyali Vaikuntha. I don't think it's a kind of a free access that everybody can go inside to take darshan of that place. So today we just discussed main complex of Jagannath temple, and maybe next time we'll try to discuss many other places in the Jagannath Puri Dham, like Gundicha temple, Gambhira, Siddha Bakula, Tota Gopina temple, Radhakanta temple. Sakshi Gopal is outside Jagannath, so we'll discuss Sakshi Gopal, Alalanath, Indradyumna Sarovar, Markandeya Sarovar, Narendra Sarovar, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's birthplace. So there are many places actually. Haridas Thakur Samadhi. So there are many places. We'll try to discuss few places next time. So thank you very much for listening attentively. Shri Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Ki Jai. So if anybody has any question, comment. Yes. Nobody knows about that. That's a complete secret. Nobody knows what that Brahman substance is. It's just those three priests, they go and take that substance and put it inside the new deity, which is God. Nobody can describe what that Brahman substance is. So it's inside the deity. That's why it's called Daru Brahman. Brahman substance, basically, you cannot see with your eyes. So Brahman substance, it's beyond our senses. Like your soul. Can you see the soul? So if somebody put a hand inside your body and take the soul out, can somebody see the soul? Right? We cannot see the soul with our eyes. Because soul is also Brahman substance. So like that, they take a Brahman substance, they say, so there's some kind, something, some people say it's some yantra or something which nobody knows about that. And because people who take that out, they also cannot describe it.
Just coming to Jagannath Puri, they also do follow Ekadashi.
Yes, well, thank you Prabhu for reminding me. In Jagannath temple, actually once Ekadashi, in Jagannath temple every day there is a rice offering. Right? There is a rice offering. And once Ekadashi approach, that they should not offer rice on this Ekadashi day. And Jagannath says, no, they are offering me rice and I want to accept rice. And Jagannath tied Ekadashi and held him in his temple there. So Ekadashi is tied in Jagannath temple. There is a Ekadashi temple also there behind Jagannath temple where Ekadashi is tied. And so in Jagannath temple, they don't observe Ekadashi basically. There is no restriction of eating rice also on Ekadashi day in Jagannath temple. And they give a rice prasad as a dry rice. So we also brought some packets of those dry rice. They say, you can mix that dry rice in the whole rice bags or something. And it becomes, the whole thing becomes as Jagannath prasad. So this Ekadashi also has no control in Jagannath Puri. And nobody gets sin. So basically we say on Ekadashi you should not eat grain because it's influenced by sin personified. But in Jagannath Puri that does not take effect. So that's why among all the four dhamas, Jagannath Puri dham is considered as the greatest of all the tirthas. The best among all the tirthas. Thank you, bro. Any other question, comment? That's why we should take darshan through ears. Try to realize these places through ears. And when, now next time you go there, maybe you will be able to relish better. Knowing all those places, you will be able to observe them, all those details. So I'm kind of eager to go next time. Because this was my first visit to Jagannath Puri Dham. And kind of we saw many places, we learned a lot. And next time I guess we will be able to relish better. So again, thank you very much. If no more questions or comment, we'll stop here. Again, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Lord Jagannath ki jai. We'll sing Narasimha prayer as our. Can we turn off the projector, please?